Welcome to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. Opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, the most vulnerable talk show host on Seattle radio, Richard Dover.
Good evening to our radio listeners. Welcome to There Is Hope. We discuss the topics of addiction and recovery. It's our goal to share testimonials that will let our listeners know there's a way out of addictions. We also share recovery concepts that, if applied, will make the difference between walking in victory over addictions or walking in defeat. We believe you can live an overcoming life. If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs or some other type of addiction, or you know somebody that's struggling, we're going to talk about treatment centers. We're going to talk about detox centers. We're going to talk about recovery houses and transitional houses and what works and what doesn't work when you get into a treatment program. And I should mention right off the bat that even though at the beginning we're going to talk about detox centers, that wouldn't apply if you're going through a gambling addiction or sexual addiction or an eating disorder. But just listen to us. There's some concepts even in the midst of talking about detox that might be of help to you. Also, there's another thing to consider as we're talking about this, that there's individuals who have a variety of different backgrounds, spiritual beliefs, and other factors that determine what's going to be the best treatment for them. So I don't believe that when it comes to treatment that there's only one way that it will work for individuals. I believe there's a variety of ways that will work for individuals. And thank goodness there's a lot of options for people to choose from when it comes to treatment. If you're listening to us in the Seattle area, we have multitudes of different type of treatment centers that have a variety of concepts of how to treat individuals with any type of addiction. If you live outside the Seattle area, you'd always go on the web, and I'm sure you can find some places that will work for you. And we'll give you some concepts so you know what to look for. Well, what I want to talk about is that when it comes to detox centers, we're going to talk some things about detox and sobering centers, but I need to mention to you that most people who go into detox, most people who go into treatment is because they're desperate. They're looking for an answer. They're looking a way out of their addiction. That's a good thing. I mean, that's the first step is you want to get out of your addiction in order to get help. But there's a danger with that at times. Because of the nature of an addict, they want things fast. They want things quick. They want quick solutions. They want to get out of their mess quickly, even though it may have taken them years to get into the mess. So what can happen when they're looking at recovery options is either consciously or unconsciously, they don't always choose the best option. And there can be a variety of different reasons. Like we say, one of those reasons is just because of the fact that they're just serious about getting recovery as fast as they possibly can. But there's another reason, and this is a reality. Some are really not ready for getting treatment. They will tell you that. They will maybe say that to a loved one, yeah, I'm ready to go into treatment. And then what they do is they choose an option that they think is going to be the easiest way to get somebody off their back. So they choose an option that they know for them personally is probably not going to work, but they'll do it just so that you'll be hopeful that they're going to be different. But the reality is they're not serious about the recovery. Maybe that's you as you're listening. You don't know if you're serious about recovery or not. Well, maybe we'll share something with you to get you to that place of being serious about getting set free from whatever it is that you may be struggling with. And here's the reality is some don't get help because they don't think there's hope. Well, we believe there is hope. There can be a difference in your life. You can see victory in your life. So here's the question I ask individuals. If they're looking for a detox, looking for treatment, over the years as we've worked with individuals, I'll ask them, the first thing I'll say to them, are you willing to do whatever it takes to get help? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I ask that question, many will say to me, well, what is it that I'm going to have to do? Well, I'll let you know and in on a little secret. If you're looking at getting treatment, and if someone says to you, are you willing to do whatever it takes, and you want to know whatever it takes, what that means, if you want to know, well, maybe not, it depends. That's what I hear many times. Well, it depends. It matters what whatever it takes means. Here's the reality. If you want recovery, if you want to walk in sobriety, you have to be at a place where you decide, I'm going to do whatever it takes, whatever that may mean. The reality is, I don't know what that means. You don't know what that means. We can't predict the future. We can't say what's going to happen, what you're going to have to go through to be able to walk in recovery. But you have to be, if you want true sobriety in your life, whatever that is, whatever the addiction may be, it has to be you're willing to do whatever it takes to get set free. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be the most terrible, horrific thing that you're going to go through life to get free, but maybe it will be. But I have a question for you. If you're an addict, if you have an addiction, and you're struggling with that addiction, you're looking at if you're going to get help or not. And if I was to ask you, are you going to do whatever it takes, what would you do? Would you go to treatment and in reality maybe lose your job? Would you be willing to lose everything you have to get treatment? Some of you say, well, I don't know if I want that or not. Yet, if you continue in your addiction, most likely you are going to lose ultimately everything you have if you continue in that addiction. Now, does that mean that if you go into treatment that you are going to lose everything? Absolutely not. There's many individuals that get into detox, get into treatment, and they don't lose everything they have. And the reality is they would say the price they paid to get into treatment was minor to what the victory they have now. What I want you to think about also is that when you're in the midst of your addiction, are you not willing to do whatever it takes to get your drug of choice? Whether it's pills, whether you, how many people, you know, I know individuals, more than one, that has jumped over the counter at a prescription drugstore to try to get their pills. They was willing to do whatever it takes to get those pills. What about you're doing some substance that's illegal? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to meet in an alley someplace with the potential of a police officer that's there to set you up to be able to get you for buying drugs? Are you willing to do that? Some of you, yes, you are. Are you willing to have your wife divorce you because you're so caught up in your alcohol? Some of you, you're willing to do that even. So again, are you serious about recovery? You only can answer that question. I can't answer that question for you. It's up to you. I'm hoping for each one of you that are listening, I'm hoping that it doesn't take a disease, that it doesn't take the loss of a loved one, doesn't take the loss of a job. It doesn't take other tragedies to get you to the point of being at your bottom. Now, I want to address something about that. Before we go and we talk, we're going to talk about sobering centers and detox centers. But before we do that, I want to talk about reaching the bottom. There are some who believe a lie. And I'm saying just point blank, it's a lie. Some believe they have to lose everything to reach their bottom. Some believe that unless they're suicidal, unless they're ready to go crazy, that they're not going to be able to stop. And the sad part is individuals will tell them that, well, you just haven't reached your bottom. Maybe they haven't, but do we know what their bottom is? What I believe is each of us get to choose our bottom. We get to choose how far down the road we have to go before we decide we don't want to go any further down that road of destruction. We get to make the choice where our bottom is at. The bottom doesn't have to be in the gutter. The reality, if you're an alcoholic, you don't have to be a gutter drunk to get set free from alcohol. If you have an addiction, say you have an addiction to cocaine, it doesn't take you getting arrested and going to jail to quit. It really just takes a choice, a decision that you make. And maybe you don't have the hope to believe that you can get set free. Again, we want you to know there is hope. If you've listened to this show at all, there's been many individuals who have heard, you've heard the testimonies, the stories of their lives that have been changed. Changed that they were alcoholics that are no longer alcoholics, drug addicts, no longer drug addicts, struggling with eating disorders and no longer having that struggle. There is a way out. There is hope. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about detox and treatment.
We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover after this on 820 AM KGNW. The Center has offered hope and healing for over 26 years. Discover freedom from anxiety and depression, from binge eating and other food struggles. Find peace in place of fear. Have a life without secret addictions. The Center features individualized whole person care. Click on aplaceofhope.com for more information or for a no-cost consultation, call the center toll-free, 888-771-5166. That's 888-771-5166.
Well, welcome back to There Is Hope. We talk about addiction recovery and that there is hope. No matter what struggle you may have, there is hope you can be set free from addiction. I encourage you to check out our website to see the variety of resources we have there. The website address is thereishoperadio.org. That is thereishoperadio.org. If you have questions, you can give that number also, and we can answer any of your questions you have. Well, let's talk about sobering centers. We want to talk about sobering centers, detox centers, treatment centers, what works, what doesn't work. Maybe you never heard of a sobering center. What a sobering center is, and it is different from a detox center. A sobering center is where individuals can go to get a place to sleep if they're drunk or under the influence of drugs. So the reality, what it happens with it is that you have to be under the influence, and if you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, then you can spend the night at that sobering center. And so what many individuals do is they go there just to be able to get out of the weather, so they know what level of they have to be in alcohol, and they'll turn around and get drunk at a point where then that way they can get in and go into the sobering center for the night. But the main purpose of that sobering center is not just for a place to stay, but it's supposed to be a stepping stone towards recovery. So what happens, an individual goes there to the sobering center. They let them know information about detox centers, about treatment centers. They give them some pamphlets and information to encourage them to be able to get help. But again, sad to say, but most addicts, alcoholics, are just abused the sobering centers, and they're just trying to get off the street. Most people who go to a sobering center are not interested in overcoming their addiction. If somebody's serious about recovery, they're normally going to go not to a sobering center, but they're going to go to a detox center. Even though, here's a tip for you. If you're looking at getting into detox, sometimes that can be very hard. There's a waiting period to be able to do that most of the time. You have to call in every day. That if you're serious about recovery, you can go to a sobering center. And when you go to a sobering center, they give you the resources. And if they know you're serious and they see somebody that's really serious about getting into treatment, that there's a good chance that by going to a sobering center, you might be able to go into detox. So that's something to consider. Next thing I want to talk about is detox centers. And I want to give out our phone number again. If you want to call in, share your own experience, maybe your experience of, again, what your bottom was or your experience of going through detox or maybe going through treatment, I'd encourage you to give us a call. The phone number is 1-800-955-8200. Again, that phone number is 1-800-955-8200. The local number here in Seattle is 206-374-8800. That local number again is 206-374-8800. Okay, detox centers. I'm not sure if you, how many of you listening have a real good idea what detox centers are, or even what detox is. So before we should talk about detox centers, we should talk about detox. And what detox is when an individual is on either alcohol or drugs and they're wanting to get off the alcohol or drugs. And so instead of just going cold turkey, which we're going to talk about in a moment, they can go into a detox center. And what that is detox just means detoxification. So it's a place where you can start to get the alcohol, the drugs that start leaving your body and being a safe environment for that to take place. And I should mention to you that not all detox centers are the same. Many of them are what's called medical detox. And what that is they use some medications and vitamin supplements to help you detox based upon the drugs that you're on or if you're on alcohol. Individuals that are on alcohol can have a lot of withdrawals. In fact, somebody that's a major alcoholic that is truly just absolutely consumed with alcohol is very dangerous to detox on your own. So I want you to consider not detoxing on your own. If you have a strong alcohol addiction, it's best to get into a medical detox because there's things they can do to just to make things safer for you as a detox. But again, on detox centers, so some are medical detox, others offer minimal services in the area of detox. But again, all detox centers have some type of monitoring. So if you're doing through withdrawals, that they're there and they're there to watch you. Again, whether they're medical detox or not, they're there and they have the resources. If in the midst of detox something was to happen physically with you, that they're there to be able to help you. And detox is normally 5 days to 30 days. Again, it's based upon the detox center you go to and the type of addiction. I'll give you an idea with somebody that's in heroin addiction. Normally, that the most you're going to be there is 10 days. Normally, it's about 7 days. Based upon what your addiction was, and if you have actually, if you've gone cold turkey for a couple days, then you may only be in there for 5 days, sometimes even 3 days. Individuals with alcohol addiction, strong alcohol addiction, they're going to be in there longer. And again, they're going to give you vitamins and other things, vitamin B1 and some other things that they give you to be able to help you to detox. Now, there's another factor with detox centers, and that some detox centers require you to have treatment lined up before you can go to detox. And what that means, before they'll let you into detox, you have to have already have an arrangement to have a bed at a treatment center. Now, I want to tell you something, that if you're really looking at being serious for treatment, it's not going to be detox alone. Obviously, if you've had an addiction for several years, you're not going to go on detox for 5 days and everything's okay and you're fine and you're never going to use again. Well, I think there is a way. That's through Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But and then for most people, it's not going to happen that you're going to go to detox for 5 days, for 30 days, and everything's fine and you're going to be okay. Most individuals are going to need to go into treatment. And so a detox center that requires you to go into treatment, I believe, is one of the best detoxes you can go to. And there's a reason for that. One of the main reasons for that is because you're more likely going to be around others that are serious about their recovery. There are going to be others that are serious about detoxing and going to treatment. Because if the requirement is to go into treatment, then that person is probably more serious. Now, here's the reality. If you know anything about addicts, is they may have a requirement that they're going to go into a treatment center. So they get that all lined up. They got a bed in a treatment center. They go into detox. They get out of detox, and they never make it to the treatment center. Again, hopefully that's not you. Is again, I would hope that there's individuals here that have hope for the recovery and that they're serious about the recovery. So if you're considering detox, I would again challenge you to consider getting a medical detox and also getting a detox that requires you to have treatment lined up. Now, here's what you have to understand. There are many individuals who go into detox and they have no intention whatsoever to get treatment, no intention to get help. So if you have a loved one and they say, well, I want to get into detox and I'm serious about it, again, if they're serious, like we said in the earlier segment, is that they'll be willing to do whatever it takes then if they're serious. Now, here's what happens. Many go into detox, and to be honest, if they're homeless, they're going into detox because they want to get out of the weather. They may want to go into detox because they want to reduce their habit. Now, that's a good thing in the sense that if somebody is what's called an 8-ball habit a day of heroin, for them to go into detox to reduce their habit means there's a lot less chance that they're going to overdose down the road. It means there's less chance that they're going to be robbing and stealing. If they can reduce their habit, they're going to, you know, they need less money. So that can be a good thing. But the reality is, if they're not serious about recovery, they're going to have attitudes in detox. And if anybody has been in there that's been in detox themselves, they'll know, you can tell the difference between somebody who's serious about going through detox and who isn't. And there's also individuals that are court-ordered, and that's why they're going to detox. So the reality is you have a choice. Do you want to be serious about recovery, or do you want to play games? The reality is, who are you playing games with? You're not playing games really with anybody but yourself. And so I would challenge you, if you're looking at detox, pick some place that you know is going to work for you. Now, there's another detox I want to talk about. It's not the most popular one, ones that many don't want to go through, and that's called cold turkey. And cold turkey is a concept that my friend Larry, who is a recovered addict, he had shared before. What happens is those who have heroin addiction and are withdrawing from heroin, or it can be opiates, that they get a symptom where it's like a flu symptom that's really bad. And then what happens is they get the chills and then they get goosebumps all over them. So it kind of looks like turkey skin, and that's why it was called going cold turkey. So that is another way. That's a form of detoxing, is to go cold turkey. Again, if you're an alcoholic that has is a major alcoholic, I would say that that's not the best bet for you. Now, here's what you're going to think is crazy. There are individuals who say the best detox you can possibly go through is to go through a detox that is a cold turkey detox. And you would say, why in the world would somebody want to do that? Because here's the reality. When you have no medications, you know, have no nutritional supplements, you're going to have the full effects of withdrawing from that drug unless God intervenes. And I know individuals that God has intervened. But more normally, when you go through it, you're going to have all those symptoms of withdrawal. And you would ask, why is that a good thing? How could that possibly be a good thing? Well, here's what individuals will tell you. They say it's a good thing because after going through that detox of being cold turkey, they will never want to go back to using again. For them, it's an incentive, a reminder to them, if I go to use again and if I ever quit again, I never want to have to go through those withdrawals. And so for some, it is an incentive to just go cold turkey and say, you know what, that's the best way for me. I'm the type of person that has to go that way to really see the consequence of where my addiction's taking me. And if that works for you, that's great. Now, there's another type of cold turkey that I don't know if anybody chooses, and that's called going to jail. Most don't want to go to jail to get off of drugs. But guess what? If you go to jail, you're going to go to jail. And if you're on heroin and you're in jail, you're going to have 5, 6, 7 days that inside of a jail cell going through withdrawals. And believe me, the correctional officers aren't there too excited about being a nurse to you. And but I can't tell you how many guys I know that have gone cold turkey in a jail and they're not using now. So what about yourself? Have you detoxed off of a drugs or alcohol? Do you have a story to share with someone? We'd really love to hear from you. So if you have a story to share, or maybe you have some questions about detox, I encourage you to give us a call. And after the break, we're going to take your calls, and then we're going to talk about treatment centers. And we'll also talk about a way that you can go detox and go to treatment that is just the miracle working of God. So come back at the break and listen to us.
Time to take a break. We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dober after this on 820 AM KGNW.
Welcome back to There Is Hope. Tonight we've been talking about detox centers, and now we're going to take a moment to talk about treatment centers and how to choose a treatment center. But before we do that, I want to encourage you, if you're a listener that's struggling with addictions or you have a loved one that's struggling with addictions, go to our website to see the variety of resources we have. The website address is thereishoperadio.org. Thereishoperadio.org. Well, now we just talk about treatment centers. When we talk about treatment centers, at this point, we're not talking about detox. We're not talking about just alcohol and drugs. We're talking about whatever the addiction may be. It could be gambling, sexual addiction, eating disorders, a variety of other addictions there is. I mean, I believe there's help for smokers. It's amazing to me how many of individuals who are dealing with alcohols or drugs, they ultimately get set free from alcohol or drugs, and they don't believe that they can get set free from cigarettes. So obviously cigarettes is a very strong addiction in individuals' lives. Well, in regards to treatment centers, there is a variety of treatment centers out there with a variety of different concepts. You have treatment centers that are just totally secular treatment centers that have nothing to do with God. They don't even maybe even believe that there's a God, and that you don't need to have anything, any kind of relationship with God to have treatment. To others that are strongly Christian-based, some are very strongly Christian-based, where you're going to be reading the Bible throughout the day, you're going to be doing Bible studies, you're going to have scripture memorization, it's going to be going to church services, very strong Christian influence. And there's some that are in between that. And so there's all kinds of options out there, and here's what I believe about treatment is, even though I'm a Christian, I believe that Jesus Christ gives the way for individuals to be set free. I believe that you can walk in victory through Jesus Christ. That I also understand for some individuals that now may not be their story. They may not have that faith. They may be an atheist, and I believe God wants even atheists to get recovery. And so there are recovery centers that are there for those who don't have any kind of relationship with God. There's recovery centers that are sponsored by the state. There's private recovery centers. Again, there's a variety of options. One of the things I want to say about recovery centers is that regardless of what type of recovery center you go to, I would encourage you to strongly consider more than 30 days. There are plenty of recovery centers out there that you can go into treatment for 30 days and you get out and you're starting life over again. But here's what I've seen. Those who normally go, not everyone, everybody's story is different, but many who go through a treatment center for only 30 days, they don't really see any real change in their life. The reality, 30 days is not a whole lot of days to be able to spend in getting treatment when you spent years in addiction. In the recovery world, there are those who talk about it as the spin dry method, that you got 30 days in a spin dry. It's really called you're going in there and you're just getting dry from alcohol or dry from drugs, but then you're turning around and not really walking in the recovery you have. Well, I see we have some callers in here, so we're going to go ahead and go to the first caller. We have Rick on the line that's in Seattle.
Hello.
Hi there, Rick.
How are you?
Doing good.
Well, I have a feeling my wife might be listening. I had like the a sort of like a premonition that Lisa was somehow listening. I haven't seen her for a long time now, but I know she was concerned with my alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a heavy drinker, well, pretty heavy. I was drinking, over a can a week, and now I'm down to, well, I haven't had a beer for like 6 months now.
Uh-huh.
And It wasn't the amount. It was just that I had. If I had one, I'd go a little bit crazy. I'd get angry and I'd start an argument and I wound up in a mental institution for 4 months last time.
Can I stop you right there, because you made a good point there.
Yeah.
Because you said one can a week or.
It wasn't a lot, but
Yeah, but the reality is for some. Yeah. That's enough to do what you did, and there's individuals say, well, if I only have one can a week or one can a day, I'm doing okay, I'm fine. Well, for some that may be the case, for many that may be the case, but obviously with your story, one was one too many.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the amount, it's just what it does to you. If you drink a little bit and it affects you poorly, you shouldn't drink at all.
Right, right.
And I've been, so far now, I've been about 6 months with... not buying a can, but I still look at the cans of beer on the sidewalk. You know, you find a half a can here, a half a can there, and I sometimes down one, and I know I have a bad reaction from it every time.
Uh-huh.
But I'm working on it, and I'm in a group home now at the hospital. They put me in a group home, and it's not a very nice way to live. I mean, we're cared for here. I wish I could care for myself better. But as long as I have this habit, and and there's other habits like smoking and things like that that we have to learn how to toe the line, and moderation is the key. But some things you've got to know that you can't have any of it. You
right,
abstain
right.
from it altogether.
And now for you, I mean, obviously you still have a struggle at times, but some people think, well, if I can't have moderation, it's not fair. I can't live with that. I don't want to live with having to abstain because that isn't fair. Other people can drink. How do you deal with that kind of a concept?
Well,
are you at peace with the fact that you have to abstain?
It's not so much comparing myself to others. It's more what I want to do for myself. I'm very self-centered, and I'm not worried about what other people think of me. It's if other people can go to the bar and drink down, have a good time and all that, that's not my style. I drink in private, and I know it affects me poorly. That's all, and I can't drink. So, I like the effects it has on me. I like to feel that I'm more macho than I am, which I'm really not.
And of course, when you drink, you say you like the effects, but you don't like the end results, because the end results is
it always gets me in trouble.
Right, right. Right.
So I wouldn't want to go with a treatment center like that, like you were talking about there on the air.
Mm-hmm.
The group home is not my style of living that I would prefer, but it does keep me on the straight and narrow pretty much. They look at me pretty carefully. If I drink or something like that, they come down on me.
And, you know, you're humble enough to say that's what I need, and I may not like this. I may like it a different way, but this is what's working for me for now, and so
that's
I'm doing
true.
What works for you for now.
And I'm sure my wife is praying for me to get better, and I don't know where she is. I haven't seen her for, we were married when we were 14. Both of us were 14, and it's like not a formal ceremony. But just in my backyard, and I said I do, and she said I do, and we were married.
Uh-huh.
Then she walked off. But I missed her very much. She's the only one I'll ever love. I hope she knows I love her still.
Well, one of the things we're going to do, I need to get to the next caller, but what I'm going to do is, your name is Rick, my wife is listening, and I'm going to have her pray for you and your wife, okay?
Thank you very much.
So she'll be praying for you as we go to the next caller. Thank you for calling and sharing your story.
God bless.
Uh-huh. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, the next caller in line is Paul, and he says he has a cold turkey experience. Are you there, Paul?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I had an alcohol problem 12 years ago. And each time I tried to quit, I would have a seizure, which is very dangerous. And you need people around you to help you when you go through this.
Right.
And what I did the last time was I just gave it to my Lord Jesus. And as I found out later in life, that he's the only one that can take that obsession from you.
Mm-hmm.
To cast that burden to the Lord, and he will. Take care, and he will sustain you because he cares for you and he loves you. And that's been 12 years ago, and I haven't looked back. And I can be around, I can witness around other alcoholics right now, and smell the alcohol on them and everything, and it does not bother me.
Now, you said that you did, so you quit cold turkey twice then. Was it one time you quit and you had seizures, and then the second time you quit?
I quit three times.
Okay.
Cold turkey, and I had three seizures.
Okay.
And they were very dangerous. And you need help when you go through those from somebody.
Yeah.
You need medical help.
Yeah, especially with alcohol, even other drugs, but alcohol is one of the major ones that is very dangerous if you have, drinking a lot of alcohol, that your body, the withdrawals are very, very bad. You know, you shared, we're a Christian radio show, but we don't always talk about everything in the Christian perspective, because we want to be open to those who are listening from all kinds of perspectives. But, you know, you're talking about that Jesus Christ, you know, the next caller is going to talk about Christian treatment is better for them than AA. But what would you say as far as those who, you know, that they do know Jesus and they say that that is my faith? What would you say to them about the fact that Jesus can set you free?
Well, I said, I'm a believer. I know it. I've been through it, and He has set me free.
And you, and somebody could tell you you're deceived and you're wrong, but you say I got years of sobriety that say otherwise.
Yes, I have 12 years of sobriety that says otherwise, and I have no obsession for it. I don't even want it. He will help you to lose those desires for drugs and alcohol.
You know, and I'll share. We have a gentleman that that's in one of our houses who's going through recovery, and for himself, he didn't believe in God whatsoever. He's went to a Christian treatment program. I would say that, you know, he probably isn't want to call himself a Christian, but he's applied the principles that he learned through a Christian treatment center, and has helped him tremendously. And to be honest, at his young age, his attitude is a lot better than guys that have been in treatment for maybe, you know, 10 years, and they still have some crazy thinking going on. And so the one thing is, that there are biblical principles that have to do with living that are helpful to anybody, but especially for somebody that has been struggling through addiction, because many times with addiction, it's all about your mindsets, the way you think, how you see life and everything else that can to trigger you to drink again, how you deal with stress, all those things. So, you know, praise God that you went cold turkey. He watched over you, protected you, and you're walking in recovery now, and you're able to share that hope with somebody else.
That's right. Yes, I stand on God's word.
Amen.
He's the healer.
For calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a blessed night.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have another caller on here. Dan, you're from Des Moines, and you say Christian treatment is better than AA.
No, I didn't say that. I wanted to say that I don't have anything against Alcoholics Anonymous. It saved my life, but it's not going to save my soul. And that's not the purpose of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right, that's true, right.
The purpose of AA is to save your life so that you can clean your life up and get your mind working so that you can make a decision as to what you want to do with your eternity. And I believe I've been clean and sober for 25 years and walking with Christ for the last 12. And I believe that AA started as a very Christian program, and people... The world has twisted it around so bad now that it's like the third step says, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And then it goes on to say, as we understood Him. But yet I hear people in AA that have been there for a long time tell newcomers that don't know anything, oh, you can have any kind of God you want. Well, it doesn't say God as I understood Him. It says God as we understood Him.
Right, right.
Meaning the group conscious, some people who have lived spiritual principles, have walked with God and can maybe help you and guide you.
yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about that, because there's some things I agree with AA, some things I disagree with AA. We have guys in our sober, clean and sober houses. Some are very strong in AA, some others aren't. The principles, I believe all of them are Christian biblical principles. And when it says, you know, as God as we understood Him, here's the thing. If you're looking for a higher power, now I believe that higher power is Jesus. Others may think it's something different. You know, that's between them and God, ultimately. And like you say, AA is to help people to get clean. It isn't to get them religion. It isn't get them to, you know, to get to heaven. Is that whatever your higher power is, it better be a higher power. If your power is a doorknob or a tree or, you know, just to focus on something, that's not a higher power. There is no power in that. And so, go ahead.
Well, here's the point. I believe that if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're not born again and you don't have Christ living inside of you, and I say this at AA, there are a lot of spiritual powers out here in the world that are way higher than you. And believe me, the big book says that spiritual life is not a theory. It's more real than this world that we see. And if you don't have Christ in you, you certainly can be deceived. And I was deceived for 15 years. I prayed for sex. I prayed for money. I thought it was God.
You prayed for all. Well, let me tell you, I've had guys that turn around and say, you won't believe it. I had a guy that we helped for. He was clean for, well, I won't say he's clean, but he was a gutter drunk who, you know, would only drink every once in a while after we started working with him. And he was doing really good. He was going to church. He was working on his recovery and stuff. And then on Christmas Day, it was a Christmas Day on a Sunday. And the next, you know, we didn't see him. We thought that was kind of strange. We see him drunk as a skunk, and he says, you won't believe what God gave me as a Christmas present. He gave me 2 12-packs on the dock as my Christmas present.
Yeah.
But that's deception, okay?
Yeah.
That wasn't a Christmas present from God.
Well, if there's only one thing true about being deceived, it's the fact that if you're deceived, you don't know it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The definition that's of deception is that you're deceived and you don't know
it. And see, when you're getting clean and sober, the devil don't want you getting that way, whether you're a Christian or not. And the devil's very deceptive. And like I said, if you don't know Christ and have Christ living inside of you, you will be defeated. And the fact is that I remember praying for sex one night, and that night I got it, and I thought it was of God, see? But that was sin.
Yeah.
That separates me from God.
And the stories that are like that, you know, it's just amazing. You know, it's just like, hey, you know, I prayed to get drugs cheaper, and so, you know, the guy gave it to me cheaper that day. Okay, that's...
Yeah.
God didn't answer that prayer, sorry.
The big book basically says in a different way, which is more acceptive, what the Bible says. What it says in there, see to it that your relationship with him, a capital H, is right. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, Romans 8:22 says there's only one way to have righteousness or right standing with God, and that's to have faith in Jesus Christ.
Now, in the midst of sharing that, I wanted to key in on something that you shared, because again, you know, I always make an intentional that I never want our show to be so Christianese that non-Christians don't want to listen to it. Yet, I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I believe it is through Jesus Christ that we're set free. You obviously went to AA. You were not a Christian at a time. It sounds like you went there for several years. You weren't a Christian. And you would say that it helped you to be able to stay sober. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think Alcoholics Anonymous is the world's best answer to that problem. And I don't believe it's a physical disease. I believe it's spiritual bondage. And I believe there's only one way out, and it's a spiritual relief. And you can get spiritual relief from a lot of different spirits, but I'm with the winning team, Jack.
Right.
You know, I don't want no secondhand guy that just wants to ride me for everything I've got.
And I want to say something along with that, because there are Christians who are anti-AA to the max, and I know some of the reasons why they are, because, again, I disagree with some of the concepts of AA, but the reality is I always try to remind them, and we're actually going to do a show on, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of discussion, a show just on the good and the bad about AA and AA as a form of recovering stuff. But the thing that you said at the very beginning that people need to remember, AA is not to be a church, is not meant to be a church, is not meant to be the place where you get all your spiritual food, but it is a place where you can learn how to walk in recovery. And I was thinking today as I was talking to an individual that, for some individuals, you know what, unless they get their head on straight, unless they get their mind cleaned up and get some fog out of there, they're not at a place that they're going to see God. At the other side of things, if I've known individuals who's never been to an AA meeting whatsoever, never walked in the door of an AA meeting, they ask God to set them free. I mean, I know a friend personally that was her story. Is she was working at a store at midnight, all by herself, was caught up in all kinds of addictions, and just cried out and says, God, I need you to set me free. I can't take it. Instantaneously, the desire went away. She has not drank or done drugs for literally years upon years, never had a craving. God did something miraculous and amazing in her life, and I wish that was true for everybody, but it's not everybody's story. And I didn't struggle with alcohol and drugs, but with anger, depression, suicidal for years, loved Jesus in the midst of all that. God just didn't snap me out of it. And, you know, for me, I know why he didn't. Because the reality for me, I wouldn't be on this show today probably. I mean, because the hell I went through is why I have a passion and a burden for those who've gone through hell themselves.
Oh, exactly. I would never want to live the life I lived before over again, but I thank God for my life because it's made me who I am today.
Exactly.
I've been in prison twice. I've been in 4 juvenile institutions. I've been in mental hospitals, and I would never want to go through that again. And if I were asked to have 48 more years of my life like it was, or 12 like it's been the last 12, I would take the last 12 in a heartbeat.
Of course, of course. You know, go ahead.
You know, it says in the big book, it says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, the mental and physical will follow. But yet the treatment centers take you in there and get you physically well, and then they send you out and tell you to try to get emotionally and spiritually well until you deal with a spiritual problem. It says our drinking is just a symptom of a much deeper underlying problem.
That's correct. And I need to
just treat the symptom by just not drinking.
Right. Too many people do that. I need to get going here because one of the things you said, and you're bringing the tag to me to go to the next topic, is I want to talk about treatment centers and the difference between good ones and bad. Well, I don't like that word, good ones or bad ones, but ones I think are more effective. So I only have a few minutes here to be able to do that, so I want to get to that. But thank you for calling. And I'm trying to bring some balance in the midst of all that, maybe a little bit more understanding for those who are Christians to understand AA and those in AA to understand the perspective that we also believe that Jesus is the answer, too. So
thank you for hearing me out. And I just want to say, if you're concerned about your eternity, your soul, Jesus Christ is the only way. If you're just worried about not drinking and drugging, AA is a great way.
There you go. All righty. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Well, now that Dan shared that, and I want to talk about something. We only have a few minutes left to be able to do that, but I want to talk about treatment centers because he mentioned something. Some treatment centers, all they're doing is they're doing a lot of behavioral therapy. They're doing things that are dealing with the addiction itself, but they're not getting to the root cause, the root problems that are there. Now, I believe every issue is actually there's a spiritual root to it, but I'm going to stay away from that for just a moment. So again, those who maybe don't want to look at the spiritual side, what I want to talk about is if you're going to go to a treatment center, one, and again, like I said before the callers, 30 days is not going to do it for most people. You really need to be more long-term, and that can be 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year. But one of the keys is of being in treatment for a long period of time is to get to that emotional side. To get to the root cause, the pain, the hurt, the wounds, whatever it may be, the reasons why you would say that you're drinking. And that takes some time to do that. And then, of course, I do believe there's the spiritual side. I believe the answer is ultimately Jesus working through, because maybe you have a lot of unforgiveness, and the way you deal with your unforgiveness and you're bitter and you're angry is to drink. And you can know that the reason you're angry and you're bitter is because you was abused by your parents or whatever it may be. But the real solution for you is to be able to get God to heal your heart, to heal your mind, to heal your spirit to a point that whatever that unforgiveness is there is that Jesus can turn around and remove that from your life. So I believe that's another critical part for recovery. But again, to me, the number one thing is work on your recovery in the midst of that. I believe that ultimately you will find God. I believe that it is God's desire to reveal himself. And I know individuals who have been to absolutely secular programs. I know a program that we work with actually quite a bit. They're a secular program. They cover some spiritual things, but they obviously don't cover anything about Jesus or anything like that. They don't read the Bible. But because there is that spiritual component, there's many who ultimately come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. They ultimately are going on a God hunt and looking for God. And so it's very helpful. Even in a secular program, that if you go into a program that at least is dealing with that spiritual side of things. And again, some do that, some don't. Another thing when it comes to treatment is, again, you could go to the best treatment program there is, the absolutely best program that, you know, Teen Challenge, believe it or not, it's a Christian program. It's not really for teenagers, even though it has the name Teen Challenge. There's individuals of all ages. Is they have one of the highest success rates. I don't know the statistics now, but at one time they had about an 80% success rate. So that means only 20% relapsed. There's other treatment centers that people go to and 80% relapse. So obviously Teen Challenge must be doing something right. They must be having something that works. But here's the reality. If you're not serious, it don't matter where you go. You could go to a treatment clinic that's 90% success rate. But if you're not serious about recovery, it isn't going to matter where you go. It won't matter if it's 30 days, if it's 6 months. I know individuals who've been in treatment. I don't understand it. To be honest, I don't understand it at all. I've known individuals who've been in treatment for 9 months. Appears that they're really working everything. They get out, and a day later, they're out there using again. And so the only way you're going to have true success is you have to have a higher power that's higher than yourself, something that's greater than you that can give you the strength to be able to walk in the victory that God has for you. I do believe that higher power is Jesus Christ, that he is the answer for whatever you may be going through. But again, maybe you're an atheist. I was an atheist at one time. I didn't believe in God at one time. I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. And I went on a God hunt finally because of a car wreck, and then I found Jesus through that God hunt. So maybe for you, you're an atheist, you don't want nothing to do with God, but you're in the midst of addiction, please get help. At least get some help. At least deal with the addiction. We had a gentleman that called that him and his wife are not together because of his drinking. Maybe that's your story. If it's not your story, it could become your story. So I would encourage you to go to our website, thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org. We have a list of some of the detox centers that are in the area, some of the treatment centers that are in the area. You certainly can go on the internet and do a search for treatment centers and choose what type of treatment center you want. Again, I would encourage you, if you have a strong addiction, I'd encourage you to take some time away, whatever that time may be for you personally, whatever is going to work for you. The last thing I want to do, we only have a couple minutes here, but I want to talk about recovery houses. We're not going to be able to cover it much, but that's the next step. For some people, after you go through treatment, it's not real good to get your own place and get a full-time job and start all over again because there may be a lot of triggers for you still, and you're liable to turn around and use again. So for some individuals, the best thing for you is a recovery house, clean and sober housing, where you can turn around and have a place that's a safe place to live until you get back on your feet. So that might be for yourself. It may be like Fairhaven House that we have. We have it that's a recovery center that you can stay there for up to a year and a half. Rent is cheap. A lot of the recovery centers there have about $300 to $350, $400 a month for rent. Normally includes utilities, so it becomes affordable. And pick one that's truly clean and sober. The reality is there's a lot of treatment centers or recovery centers out there, quote, clean and sober houses that are not clean and sober, that you can turn around and be there and be using. They don't test. And if you're in a good, clean and sober house, they're going to test you. And if you come up dirty, they're going to boot you out. They're going to tell you you're going to have to leave. That might sound mean and cruel, but it's to keep it safe for those who are serious about recovery. So that would be another step in the midst of getting help. But thank you for listening today. I hope that we've been an encouragement to you. I hope we've brought you some things to think about. If you're looking at doing something different in your life, be serious. Be willing to do whatever it takes, not knowing what that's going to mean, but do whatever it takes, just like you're willing to do whatever it takes to walk into your addiction. And what I would tell you is, you know, seek God. If you don't know him, ask him to reveal himself to you. Again, as we close here, if you need prayer, it's 1-866-346-7186. That's 346-7186. Thank you for listening. As you go to sleep tonight, remember, there is hope.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the preceding program were not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.